Today's shir is in Masechta Pesachim on Daf Pei Zayin, with the beginning of the new Perek HaIsha. Our Mishnah discusses the status of certain individuals concerning their minui, their being registered on a Korban Pesach. A short Hagdama is in order. We will first discuss the Chiyuv of someone to be registered on a Korban Pesach. This chiyuv is a chiyuv deraisa. It's written in the Torah. It's based on the pasuk in Sefer Shmos, Ish lefi achloi tachoisu al aseh, that everyone, according to what he eats, should be counted for the seh, for the lamb that's being offered for the Korban Pesach. And a person becomes manui, he becomes registered for the Korban Pesach by acquiring a portion of it, and he has to do it with a kinyan. So this is as far as the chiyuv, the obligation to have minui. Does one need to agree to the minui? It depends. Normally, as a rule, a person would have to register himself, and another person cannot register for him without his consent. And that means that the person has to indicate verbally or otherwise that he wants the owner of the korban to be a shliach, to be a representative of him, to do a kinyan for him, to acquire a portion of the korban pesach. But in certain situations, for example, somebody's wife or older children, it's assumed, unless they state otherwise, that they are monui on the korban of their father, or in the case of a wife, of her husband. In certain cases, for example, a child who is a katan under bar mitzvah or an evet knani, there the adon, the master, or in the case of the minor child, the father, can register them on the korban pesach even against their will. Now, it is possible that a person could be registered by two individuals, each one assuming that they would want to be part of their Korban Pesach. Halachically, the din is, it is not possible to be registered for more than one Korban. And therefore, in the case, as we'll see by someone who got married, where her father and her husband both registered her on the Korban Pesach, she will have to decide in certain cases, as the Mishnah and the Gemara will enumerate, which Korban Pesach she actually wants to be registered on. Begins the Mishnah and the new Perek. Ha'isha, the woman, and here it refers to the wife, Bizman Shehi Bebeis Bala, at the time when she is in the house of her husband, after she got married, after the Nesuin, Shachet Olea Bala, Vishachet Olea Via, Toicho Mishal Bala. So the Mishnah says that if both her father and her husband shechted the Korban Pesach on her behalf, each one assumed that she would want to be part of their Korban Pesach. So normally we say that she is part of her husband's mishpacha, and she has a good relationship with her husband, and she wants to be nimna on his Korban, even above her father's Korban Pesach. However, says the Mishnah, Holcha regal rishon lasis bebeis avia, if she went the first yontif after marriage to her father's house, as Rashi says, that was the way. Kach derech hanesuos lo lechs lebeis aviyin. Regular rishon shachar nesuin. The custom of the young married couple was that they would go to the wife's parents' house, to the wife's father's house, at the first yontif after the marriage. And if the first yontif was Pesach, they would go to the father's house, and this custom is still prevalent today, that after a marriage, the couple goes for the first yontif to the parents' house, to the wife's parents' house. So if that was the case here, says the Mishnah, if shachet olea aviyah v'shachet olea bailo, if both her father and her husband shechted the Korban Pesach on her behalf, so now the halach is on the first yontiv after the marriage, toicha b'makom shehi rotza, so she has to decide which Korban Pesach she wants to be registered on, and which Korban Pesach she's going to eat from, whether it's her husband's or whether it will be her father's. Continues the Mishnah, Yosem Sheshachto Olov Apetrupsin, by in the case of an orphan, where Beis Din appoints a guardian, someone to protect the financial interests of the orphan, and in this case, Rashi tells us that Beis Din appointed two apetrupsim, two guardians, and each guardian registered the yosem on his korban pesach. The halacha is yoichel b'makom shiraitze. The child decides which korban pesach he is going to eat from. Eved shel shnei shutvim, continues the mission. If you have an eved kanani who belongs to two shutvim, to two partners, lo yoichel mishel shneyan, he should not eat from both of them. As Rashi explains, since each master owns a half of the eved, and it's speaking about where the two partners do not get along, so if Reuven, for example, was memana the eved on his korban pesach, and Shimon was memana the eved on his korban pesach, so Reuven only has an authority on half of the eved. As Rashi says, who gave him the authority to be memana the eved, the other half of the eved on the same korban pesach, and therefore will only work if both of them agree that the eved should be registered on one of their korban pesachs. And therefore it makes no nafka minna whether both have registered the eved on their individual korban pesach, or whether only one of them registered the eved on his individual korban pesach. But since it is necessary to have the permission of both partners, it is only valid if both partners agree that he should be registered on one of the partners. Otherwise, as the Mishnah says, lo yachol mishel shneyan, he is not allowed to eat from both of them if they do not come to this agreement. Mi shechetzer eved v'chetzer ben chayrin. Let's say there was a eved who one of the partners freed, and now this eved has a status of being half eved and half free. Chatzi eved v'chetzer ben chayrin. Lo yachol mishel rabbi, he is not allowed to eat from his master because he is part of the household. So Einachanami, the master, included the half of the Eved, which was still Eved, which was a slave that is included in the Mishpacha of the Adon of the master. However, he did not have in mind to register the half of the Eved, which is Ben Chorin, which is a free man. He did not have in Das to register him on his Korban Pesach, and therefore he is not able to be registered on the Korban Pesach of his Rebbe. Begins the Gemara, Shamat Mino, we learn from our Mishnah, from the Halacha, where on the first Yontiv she has to decide which Korban Pesach she's going to be registered on. And as Rashi tells us, the Gemara and the Havamina thought that when was she making this decision? She was making it after the Shechita. She was making it right before she's going to eat. And the Halacha is that a person has to be registered on the Korban Pesach before the Shechita. So the Gemara says, the Chorah, this is a classic case of Breira. Breira means, if I make a kinyan, or I make any chalos, I make any act which is dependent on certain knowledge being present at the time that I do that act, and I only found out about that particular piece of knowledge later. So if we say Yesh Breira, we say, since I found out, let's say in a day, that piece of information, which I really had to know about a day earlier, I say retroactively, it's as if I knew it at the time. For example, over here, we did the Shechita on Erev Pesach, then we're going to eat the Korban Pesach at night. At night she decides whether she's going to go with her husband or with her father. So we say, retroactively, it's considered as if she had that in mind, as if we knew that knowledge that she's going to go with her husband. or with her father, whatever she decides, at the time of the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. That's a classic case of agreeing retroactively, of knowing something retroactively. And as the Miri explains, but we paskin by Dine Daraisa, by Dine from the Torah, ain Breira. It's only by Dine Derabonin that we say Yesh Breira. If so, how could she decide right before she eats it which Korban Pesach she is going to be counted on, whether it's her husband's or her father's? How would that work retroactively? But how can it work retroactively? How can we say Yesh Breira if this is a Din Daraisa? By Din Daraisa, we don't say the Halach of Breira. That's Gemara's Kasha. So the Gemara answers, my rights, b'shah shchita. Einich nami, you made a mistake, the Gemara says. It's not like you thought in the half a minute that she is agreeing to it right before she eats it. No, when we come to Shecht, we have to ask her, which one do you want to be counted on? You have to let us know now. Because, in fact, we say ein breira by Dine Daraisa. We're not going to say retroactively, it's as if we knew what you wanted to do at the time of Shechita. Rather, you have to tell us at the time of Shechita which one you're choosing, either your husband or your father. The Gemara asks, I'm a stira. Verminu, I'm going to ask you a stira from a braisa to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it said that the first yontif, we have a suffix if it goes after the father or the husband, and we have to ask her before the shechita which one she decides. If it's the other yomtovim, the other days of the year after the first yontif, so there we say that she definitely goes to her husband. If the Yontif of Pesach would be coming out, not the first Yontif, but it would be coming out later in the year, then we say that she definitely wants to go with her husband. And in a Braisa, we see the opposite of that. Vereminu isha regel harishna chas mishal avia. As opposed to what our Mishnah said, that it's a suffix, we don't know if it's her father or her husband, the Braisa says that the first Yontif is certainly her father's. She's registering with her father. Mikan ve'elach, if Pesach comes out the second or third yontiv of the year, writes Eichelis Mishal Avia, writes Mishal Bala. She can decide whether she's going to eat from her father or her husband. So we have a stira both concerning if Pesach is the first yontiv after her marriage or whether it's the rest of the year. In our mission, it says if it's the first yontiv, it's a suffix, and she has to decide. And if it's the rest of the year, it's for sure with her husband. And the Brisa says if it's the first yontiv, it's for sure with her father, and if it's the rest of the year, then we say it is a suffix. So this is a kasha from the Brisa on the Mishnah. Zok the Gemara loy kasha. It's not a stira. Kan beredufa leilach kan b'shein redufa. Here it's speaking about where she's running to her father. That means the Brisa. The Brisa is speaking about where she was always going constantly to her father. Perhaps she wasn't yet so accustomed to being with her husband, and she was still running back to her parents' house. So then we say the first yontiv is definitely her father. If it's not the first yontiv, if Pesach comes out later in the year, then it's a suffix, and she has to decide. Kan in our Mishnah, b'she'ena redufa, where she is not running to her father's house, she doesn't go there so often. She's very comfortable in her husband's home, and therefore the halacha is that if it's the first yontiv, so maybe the first yontiv, even though she's not running back all the time, maybe the first yontiv of Pesach, she will want to go back to her parents' house. But if it's the rest of the, and then the halacha is that she goes with her father. Then the halacha is that we have a suffix. If she's Eina Redufa, we have a suffix, even the first yontiv, whether she'll go to her father. Since she doesn't go constantly back, we don't know if she's going to go with her father or with her husband. But the rest of the year, the Mishnah said, in a case where it's Eina Redufa, and if you look in Rashi, in the Mishnah, Rashi tells us that in the Divrei HaMaskil Toichel Mimakim Shiraitza, which is the last wide line on top, the Rashi says, B'gamor Mukulak She'ena Redufa, that she is not used to going. If she's not used to going, so the first yontif is a suffix, the rest of the year it's definitely with her husband. If she's redufa, she's running back to her parents' house constantly, then the first yontif is definitely the father, the rest of the year, if Pesach comes out later in the year, after the first yontif, then it is a suffix. Where do we see this concept of a kala a married woman going back to her father's house. Dechsev, we learn in a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Oz Hayisa Be'enav, I was in the eyes of my new husband, Kimoitza Shalom, like someone, as Rashi explains, who became very dear to him, and he found, the husband found the wife Shleimistic, perfect. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, what is this referring to? Kekalosh Nimtza Shleim Beis Chamera, like a bride who is found to be whole in the house of her father-in-law. V'redufa Leilich Lahagid Shracha Beis Avia, and she's running to tell of her praise in the house of her father. Now she goes home to her father, to her parents, to her mother, to tell them how good it is in the house of her husband, in the house of her father-in-law. She's very accustomed to them, and they think she's perfect, they think she's great, and she's running to her father's house to tell them the good report. So whereas before we mentioned that she might be going back to her father's house because she's not yet so comfortable in her husband's home, here, the way Rabbi Yochanan and explains the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, she's running back to the father, to the parents' home, to tell of how great it is, Bebeis Chamiya, Kedichsev, and we find this concept also in a pasuk in Hosea, V'hoyu b'yoyim ahu nu'um Hashem, Tikri Yishi, Hashem says that my relationship with Klal Yisrael will get better. I will be called Ishi, from Loshen Ishus. I will have a relation with Klal Yisrael like a married man with his wife. They're not going to call me any more master. Baal and Ish are both lashonis of a husband, but Baal represents not such a close relationship, and Ish represents a close relationship. Baal is representative of the time of Erison, where the minig was that the future husband and wife, they made Erison, but they were not totally halachically husband and wife. They didn't yet live together. That came much later after the Erison. And during that period where the relationship wasn't so close, the husband was a Baal. Hashem says the day will come when my relationship with Klal Yisrael will be that of a married person, where there'll be issues involved, nesuin involved, and I'll be closer to Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan, what is this compared to? Kekala bebeis chamer, like a kala who has adjusted well to her husband's home and to her father-in-law's home. V'loy kekala bebeis avia. It'll be like a married woman going to her father-in-law's house, and not like a kala who is still attached to the house of her father. So here the Gemara is giving an example of how a married woman would be going to the house of her father-in-law and reporting of how good it is in the house of her she'll be going to the house of her father and reporting how good it is in the house of her father-in-law and of her husband's house. So here we see that Rabbi Yochanan was comparing Klal Yisrael to a married woman and the relationship of Klal Yisrael to Hashem. And now Rabbi Yochanan is going to darshan other psukim where we see that Klal Yisrael is compared to a married woman. And he continues on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Achoyis lonuktana, we have a small sister, v'shadayim einlo, she has not yet developed breasts, which the word in Hebrew is shadayim. Am Rabbi Yochanan, to whom does this pasuk in Shir HaShirim refer to? Zu Elam. This is the country of Elam. Shezachso lulmoid v'lo yizachso lulameid. That the Gedolim who lived in Elam, as Rashi tells us, this refers to Daniel, that he said, Ani Daniel Hayisi b'Shushan Habira Asher b'Elam. I was in Shushan Habira, which was in Elam. So in that country, Daniel was zocha to learn Torah, but he was not zocha to be marbitz Torah, to spread Torah to others. But in Bavel, there Ezra Sofer, Rashi brings down, the pasuk says in Ezra, Heichen levavoy lidroish es Torah Hashem v'lasos ulamid b'Yisrael chokam mishpat. There he not only learned Torah himself, but he also taught Torah to others. Ani choma v'shadakim gdolos, I am a wall and my breasts are like towers. What does this refer to? So again, Rabbi Yochanan is going to darshan this pasuk. Am Rabbi Yochanan, ani chayma zutar. This refers to Torah. V'shadai kemigdailas, and my shadayim are like towers. Elu tamidei chachamim. As Rashi and the Mefarshim explain, that shadayim is the source of where a mother nurtures her child, gives her milk, her sustenance, her nourishment to her child. And Torah is compared to Shadayim. Torah is compared to the source of nourishment, and the ones who provide that source, those are the Talmidei Chachamim, who are Melamei Torah. They're the ones like the mother who feeds her child. The Talmidei Chachamim are the ones who give over, who impart the Torah and the spiritual nourishment to Klal Yisrael. And just like Torah is compared to a choma, to a wall, which is protecting a city, what protects the wall? What protects the wall from enemies climbing up and coming into the city? That's the towers. From that, the towers, arrows can be shot down, hot water could be spilled over the troops that are trying to invade. So the tower is what protects the wall, just like the wall is what protects the city. So too, Torah is the wall that protects Klal Yisrael, and the Talmidei Chachamim, they are the Megdolos, they are the towers which protect the Torah. So ultimately, the Talmidei Chacham are the ones, as Rashi brings down, who are megin on the generation. They protect the generation. V'Rava Amar, Rava explained this pasuk, Ani Chayma Zu Knesset Yisrael. This refers to Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael makes sure that there's a wall separating them from the Umas Olam, from assimilation with the Gentile world. The Shaddai can make dialogues, and my Shaddaim are like towers. What is this referred to, says Rava? Elu batei knesis ubatei midrashos. These are the shuls and the batei midrashim where Klal Yisrael learns Torah and davens, and this protects Klal Yisrael from assimilating with the Umas Olam. Amar Rav Zutra bar Tovi Amar Rav, my dechsev, Asher banenu kinetiyim migudolim binureyem, our sons were like plantings that were not broken, and migudolim binureyem, they were raised from youth. Binosenu, our daughters, kizavius, like corners, mechutavos, that they were formed and crafted, tavnis heichol, like the form of the Beis HaMikdash. What is this referred to? Asher banenu kinetiyim elu bachurei Yisrael. These are the young men of Yisrael. Shaloi tom utamchet, that they never did an aveira, even though they had desires perhaps for certain aveiras, but they made sure to control those desires. Binoseinu, our daughters, kizavis, are like corners. What does this refer to? Elu besulos Yisrael. These are the young maidens of Yisrael. Sho'oigdois pischem lebaleyan, that they close their openings to their husbands. Rashi says to pshatim. Either oigdois means soismois. They close up their openings until they have relations with their husband. They do not have any relations before that which they have with their husband. And they are sonua. And a second pshat, Rashi says, is the word oigdois means magidois. They relate, they tell over to their husbands when in their openings there is dam nidus, which prevents them from having relations with their husband. These are the besulos Yisrael, v'chenu oimer, and similarly we find a pasuk in Zechariah, umalu kemizrak, they will be full like a bowl, kizavius mizbech, like the corners of the mizbech. And here, Rashi and Tosus give two pshatim. Rashi's pshat is that we learn this out from the word umalu, they will be full. This was referring, this is a v'chenu oimer. We found a similar explanation in this pasuk to the one we had before, that the women are, even though they're malu, even though they're full of taiva, but yet they control themselves and they only have relations at the right time with their husbands. And Tosfos says that the pshat is they're like the corners of the Mizbeach, and just like what is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, the dam, Tosfos is learning like Rashi's second pshat not that oigdos means they close up their openings, but oigdos means they tell their husband when they have dam nida. So v'chenu oimer. So we learn from this pasuk in Zechariah that when they have dam and their corners are full of dam, they like the mizbeach that on the corners were sprinkled dam. They relate this to their husband, and their husbands separate from them. Or we have it from a different pasuk, mizuveinu maleim, that our corners are full, mefikim mizon elzon, and they provide from one harvest to another harvest. So we see the same idea that the corners are full, and this refers to the tznius of the women, as we learned in the Gemara before. The pasuk concludes, mechutavos tavnes heichel, that they are formed like the shape, like the binyan. Tavnis is from the Lashon binyan, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. What is the pasuk trying to conclude? Elu ve'elu, that both the Bachure Yisrael, the young men who are tzanua, and the young women who are tzanua, ma'ala aleim akasav kilu nivne hechel b'yameim, the Torah considers it as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in their days. And now we continue to bring psukim which compare Knesset Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, to a woman. Dvar Hashem Asher Hoyah El Hoshea. Hoshea begins with the words that there was a word of Hashem to the Navi Hoshea. And when did Hoshea give his prophecy? Continues the pasuk. Bimei Uziyo Yosim Achaz Yechizkiyo Melech Yehuda. He gave it in during the reigns of these four kings of Yehuda. Uziyo Yosim Achaz and Yechizkiyo. Says the Gemara. Beperik Echad Nesnavu Dal Neviim. In one period, there were four great Neviim who gave Nevuah. But, and Rashi and Tosafot both bring psukim to prove that in fact these four Nevi'im who we're going to discuss, each of them said their Nevuah during the reign of the four kings that were mentioned in the pasuk in Hoshea. The Gadol Shebekulon, who was the greatest of these four Nevi'im, that was Hoshea, Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Hoshea, Tchilas Dvar Hashem b'Hoshea. It was the beginning. The simple pshat in the pasuk is that this is the first nevuah that Hashem said to Hoshea. But the Gemara understands it differently. The Gemara understands it that Tchilas, you know who was first and foremost, who was the greatest of these four nevi'im, that was Hoshea. That's the one who Hashem spoke to first, because Hoshea was the Tchila. He was the first and foremost. The Gemara asks, V'chiba Hoshea, Dibre Tchila, did, it seems from the pasuk that the first Navi that we had, was after Moshe Rabbeinu was Hoshea, and that's not true. V'aloimi Moshe ad Hoshea kama Nevi'im. There were many Nevi'im from Moshe till Hoshea. In fact, the Gemara Megillah tells us that there were as many Nevi'im in the history of Klal Yisrael, kiflayim kiyotz Mitzrayim. There were 600,000 Jews that left Mitzrayim between the ages of 20 and 60. And how many did Nevi'im did Klal Yisrael have during their history? Double that amount, which would come out to 1,200,000. So there certainly was many Nevi'im that we have between Moshe up till Hoshea, which was many years after Moshe. There were certainly many Nevi'im in there. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, you know what it means, Tchilas Dvar Hashem Vaisheya, it means Tchila Larbo Nevi'im Shenisnavu Baisa Perek, that he was the first and foremost of the four Nevi'im who received Nevu'ah at that time. Ve'eluhain, who are those four Nevi'im? Hoshea, Yeshaya, Amos, Umicha. So that's pshat in that opening pasuk in the Sefer Hoshea. And now the Gemara continues with a story. And Tosfos, in the last Tosfos on our Amud, Amar LaHakadosh Baruch Hu Hoshea, so Tosfos says the Gemara is going to have a whole dialogue between Hashem and Hoshea, because we find a strange command that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Hoshea, which he didn't give to any other Navi. What is that command? Hashem told Hoshea to take an Isha Zayna, and he's going to have from this immoral woman, he's going to have children that are znunim. As Rashi explains, you won't know if these children are yours or they're from a different man. And then he commanded him to be Megarish, his wife. It seems like a bizarre command. And Tosfos says it must be, the Chazal understood that there had to be something that preceded this this strange command to Hosea, and that's what the Gemara is going to relate right now. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hosea. Hashem said to Hosea, Banecha chatu, your children have sinned. V'hoya lo loimer, what should have Hosea responded to Hashem? Banecha heim. Is that what you're telling me, Hashem? It's my sons? You, Hashem, are saying to me, it's your sons, Hosea? B'nei Chanun Nechohein. These are the children of your favored ones. B'nei Avram Yitzhak V'Yaakov. In other words, Hosea should have defended Klal Yisrael. And what should he have said? He should have said, Galgel Rachamech Aleihem. Roll over, pour out your mercy upon Klal Yisrael, even though they have sinned, but they're the children of your favored ones, or as the Rosh Hashanah Magia, B'nei Bechunecha, as we find on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to refer to the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov as the children of the tested one, because Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov were all tested. So that's what Hosea should have answered Hashem. Galgal Rachamecha Aleihem. But loy daya shaloy amrakach. Not only didn't he say what he should have said, have mercy on them, and they're the children of Chanunecho, of Rami Tzvi Yaakov, Alam Alufanov. You know what Hosea in fact said? Rabbanu Shloilam. Kol Olam Shalcho. The whole world is yours. You're the boss. The whole world belongs to you. Havir and Bumacheres. Exchange them. They sinned. Throw them out. Take another generation. Take another people instead of them. And in fact, this was a sin on Hosea's part. As the Meforshim explain, that a Navi has two responsibilities to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they actually ask a contradiction between one Perek in Yeshaya, Perek Aleph, the Perek of Chazon Yeshayo, which we say on Shabbos Chazon, right before Tisha B'Av. In that Perek, Yeshaya HaNavi is very harsh to Klal Yisrael. He says that we're like Stoim and Amora. We're like the nations of Sodom and Gomorrah that Hashem totally annihilated. Kistoma Yinu Kamora Daminu, and he says to them, Hoy Kitsine Stoim, the princes of Stoim. That's what he calls Klal Yisrael. And Hashem does nothing to him. In Perek Vav of Yeshaya, he says a remark which is certainly not as strong as Sodom Vamora. He says that Klal Yisrael, Besoch Am Tmeis V'Asayim Anoichi Yashiv, I'm sitting amongst the people with unclean lips. For that, immediately a malach comes with a coal, and he puts it on Yeshaya's mouth to damage Yeshaya's lips for having spoken ill against Klal Yisrael. And the question is, when Yeshaya called him Stoim V'Amor, nothing happened. And when he said, Besoch Am Tmeis V'Asayim, I'm amongst the people with unclean lips, then he got an immediate punishment. Why was that? And the answer the Mefarshim give is that a Navi in Klal Yisrael has two obligations. One is to Hashem and one is to Klal Yisrael. When he's speaking to Klal Yisrael, then he chastises them with the harshest Musar and nothing happens because that's his job in trying to correct Klal Yisrael. But when he's speaking to Hashem, not in front of Klal Yisrael, then he has another job. He wears a different hat. There he has to be the defender of Klal Yisrael. So here in our Gemara, here in Pesachim, when Hashem is speaking to Hosea and Klal Yisrael is not there, what is the job of Hosea? The job of Hosea is that he should have defended Klal Yisrael. They're b'nei chanunecha, galgal rachamech aleihem. Give them mercy. And therefore, he did something wrong here. He did an aveira that not only didn't he defend Klal Yisrael, but he, in fact, he said to Hashem, why don't you change them for another nation? So now Hashem responds, and he says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, four lines from the bottom, Mo Esel Zaken Zeh, what should I do to this old man? And the Ben Yoyot explains, why did he call him an old man? Because perhaps he's old, the person gets old, he has less patience, less savlonis, and that's why apparently he said such a remark to me to exchange Klal Yisrael for another nation. He's like a Zaken. What should I do to this Zaken? So Hashem decided, I'm going to tell him the following, Leich Vekach Isha Zoyna. And this dialogue preceded this command, as Tosus explained. Now we understand the command. Go and take this woman who is an immoral woman. And therefore you should have children from her, which are Zanunim, as Rashi, the bottom line of Rashi, V'yalde Zanunim, Shatele Lachbonim, Zanunim, Sofik Shalcha, Sofik Shalcher. It's a Sofik whether they're your children or whether they are somebody else's children. Uksiv, Ayelech, Vayikach, Shachas Goymer Bastiv Laim. He took a woman called Goymer Bastiv Laim. And now the Gemara explains why she was given this name. Goymer Amar Rav Shakol Goymer Bo. As Rashi explains, Biyasam Vitavis Libam. Everyone fulfilled their desire with this woman who was a Zayna. Bastiv Laim. And now we turn to Dav Pei Zayin Amid Beis. What does it mean? Divlayim Dibara Bastibara. As Ben Yoyada explains, that not only was Goymer this woman, a woman of Dibara, of ill repute, a immoral woman, but her mother was also an immoral woman. And that's named Divlayim, like a double Diba, a double bad report on her and her mother. Ushmuel Amar, why was she called Divlayim? The mother, Shemesuka Befiya called Kidvela, that she was sweet in everyone's mouth like a fig, like a pressed fig. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, she called Doshimba Kidvela, everyone stepped on her like one presses figs by stepping on the figs. And the Lashon Doshin is a word that is used to relate to Bia, that everyone had relations with her. Davar Acher, Goymer, what does the word Goymer mean? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shabikshu L'Gomer M'mon Yishol Yisrael B'Yomad, they wanted to stop, to take away totally the money of Klal Yisrael in her days. As we find in the history of that times, that the Gentile kings wanted to take away Klal Yisrael's money. And Rabbi Yochanan says, not only did they want to do it, but Bazazu v'gamru, they in fact, they robbed Klal Yisrael from all their money. Shenemar ki avda melech Aram, the king of Aram, took away all their money. V'yasimika afra ladish, they put them like dirt to be stepped on. So Klal Yisrael lost its money at the hands of the melech Aram. Continues the pasuk in Isaiah, Vatar Vatel Lebein. She conceived and she gave birth to a son. This was Hosea's wife, the Zayna, Goymer. Vayomer Hashem Elov, Hashem said to Hosea, Karashma Yisrael, call his name Yisrael. What was the significance of the name Yisrael? Because Yehu, the king Yehu, he killed out the descendants of Ahav, and where did he do it? He did it in the valley of Yisrael. And so even though Ahav's descendants served Avodah Zarah, and they deserved to be killed, but Yehu's descendants also served Avodah Zarah. So once they served Avodah Zarah, they had no right to take the life of Achav's descendants, if they did the same thing. So therefore, Hashem said to Hosea, I want you to name your first son Yisrael. And this will symbolically signify, ki oid mad, a little bit of pakadati, I'm going to remember, I'm going to avenge, as the May Yisrael, I'm going to avenge the blood that was spilled by Yehu of the descendants of Achav in the valley of Yisrael. And Rashi says a second pshat, that Yisrael means Zorakel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to sow, he's going to spread out the seeds, he's going to put Klal Yisrael into Golus and spread them out, just like one who spreads out seed. Upakadati is May Yisrael al Beis Yehu. I'm going to remember what the Beis Yehu did, v'hishafti mamluchos Beis Yisrael, and I'm going to stop the kingdom of Beis Yisrael. As the Marsha explains, that the last king of Yisrael that Hashem appointed was Zechariah, who was Ben Yeravam, and he was the fourth generation from Yehu. The end of the lineage appointed by Hashem of Beis Yisrael would come with the death of Zechariah ben Yeravam, whose great-grandfather was Yehu. Vatarod vatelbash, she conceived again and she gave birth to a daughter, Vayomer Loi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Hosea, Kroshma, call her name Loi Ruchama. Her name should be Loi Ruchama. Why? Because this will symbolize, says Hashem, Ki Loi Oisevayda Rachamis Beis Yisrael. I will no longer continue to have mercy on Beis Yisrael. and as the Gemara will later explain, the next part of the pasuk, ki nasa es alahem, I won't have mercy on them. Should I then forgive them? Of course not. Bitmiyad, it's like a question mark. Should I forgive them? I'm not going to have mercy on them. Of course I will not forgive them. Vatar vatelet ben. And she conceived and she gave birth to another son. Vayoymer krosh moy loy ami. Call his name, Hashem said to Hosea, Loyami. What is the symbolic meaning of this? Ki atem Loyami. You, Klal Yisrael, are no longer my people. V'anoichi Loyei Elohem, and I will not be for you. The Marsha explains, Chas v'Shalom, Hashem didn't mean that he's going to exchange Klal Yisrael for another nation, because that's exactly what the taina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had on Hosea, that instead of defending Klal Yisrael, he said, why don't you switch him for another nation? The Marsha explains, what Hashem is trying to say here is that, like we have in the Pasuk in the Chumash, V'anoichi haster haster esponim b'yamahu, that Hashem will show haster esponim, he will hide his face, he will hide the special hashgacha that HaKadosh Baruch has for Klal Yisrael, he will remove it, and memela, they will be susceptible to all the dangers that comes from, that come from the Umas Olam who will attack them. After this immoral woman, Gomer, Bas Divlayim, she gave birth to him two sons and one daughter, Hashem said to Hosea, shouldn't you have learned from Moshe your Rebbe? Shekivin shedibarti mo, as soon as I started speaking to him, Pirish Manisha, he separated himself from his wife. He didn't know when I'm going to come to him, Benevua, and therefore he always wanted to be ready, and therefore he had to make sure he's in a state of Tara, so he separated from his wife. Afato, you also. Bedol Atzimachamimenu, as the Marsha explains, Megarish her, divorce her, separate yourself from her. Amr Loi Hosea answered to Hashem, Rabbani Shlailam, Yesh li banim mimenu, I have children from here. Ve'enan the yachal loitzia, I can't remove her, v'loi legarsha, I can't make her divorce. As the Marsha explains, because if I do that, then people will say, aha, you see, you know why I divorced her? Because he found out that this wasn't even his child, that his wife had been mezana. So I can't lead to that impression that this is not my child. And the Miri says, I can't divorce her, because when a couple have children, it's a tragedy. It's bad enough when two people divorce by themselves, as far as they themselves are concerned. But when children are involved to divorce, there's no greater tragedy than that. And therefore, Hosea is saying, I cannot divorce myself. You want me to divorce myself from Goymer? I can't. Now that Hashem made this whole tzivui, and we understand why Hashem told him to marry this Ishazona, and now he told her to divorce her. He knew that Hosea would not be able to divorce her. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Hosea, Uma ato, I'm going to make a kal v'chomer. You, she'ish t'chazayna, she's a zona. She's not a moral woman. Ubonecha, and your children, b'nei zenunim. They'll always be a suffix if they really are your children or not, because maybe your wife wasn't faithful to you. Ve'ein ato yedeya, and you do not know, imshocha hein, imshocheim hein, whether they're your children or not your children, they're somebody else's children. And kach, if that's what you're telling me, that you cannot divorce your wife. So Yisrael, Shehem Bonai, Klal Yisrael, that are my children, I know that they're my children. B'nei Bechunai, they're not children of an immoral woman, they're children of my, here we see where the Gemara uses the word Bechunai, and not like we had on Amid Aleph, B'nei Chanunecha. But your children of your favored ones. But here, the Rosh Hashanah says, and Amid Aleph, who should also be garbage like this word over here. B'nei Bechunai, they are the children of my tested ones. B'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who were always tested and passed the test. So, and also, Klal Yisrael is echad mi'arbo kinyonim shekanisi bo'elami. They're one of four things that I bought in my world, as Rashi says, if you buy something, it shows it's precious to you. Klal Yisrael is precious to me. It's one of the four things that I acquired, says Hashem. And what are those four things? Torah, kinyon, echad. One kinyon is the thing that is Torah, which I acquired. Dechsev, Hashem kanani, Hashem acquired me, reishis darkoi. Torah is the beginning of his way, as the Marsha explains. things, because istakel bar raisu bar alma, Torah preceded the creation of the world. Hashem looked into the Torah as a blueprint of how to create the world. That's why it's called Reish Starkey, the beginning of my way. Shamayim v'oretz kinyan echad, another acquisition of Hashem was heaven and earth. Dichsiv kainu shamayim v'oretz, Hashem acquired heaven and earth. Beis hamikdash kinyan echad, a third kinyan is beis hamikdash. Dichsiv harzeh konsa yamino, his right hand acquired this mountain, referring to the Har Habayis, to the beis hamikdash. Yisrael kinyan echad, and Yisrael is the fourth acquisition. Dichsiv amzu kanisa, this nation you acquired. This refers to Klal Yisrael acquired by Hashem. The ato marto havirim b'macheres, and now I have a tremendous question on you. How could you have suggested I should exchange Klal Yisrael, which is one of my four dear acquisitions? How could I change them for another nation? So this whole Indian of marrying this immoral woman was all to teach Hashem a lesson that he had sinned. He had not defended Klal Yisrael when he was supposed to. Not only hadn't he defended, but he became a prosecutor against Klal Yisrael. Once Hashem realized that he had sinned, Amad Levakish Racham Al Atzmai, he got up to ask Hashem for mercy for himself. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, instead of looking for mercy for yourself, ask for mercy for Klal Yisrael. Because of you, because you didn't defend Klal Yisrael when you were supposed to, I, in fact, made three gzeiros on Klal Yisrael. And what are those three gzeiros? They were represented by your three children. First, there was the one Yisrael, which represents that you will be seeded and sowed and scattered throughout the world in Golus. Klal Yisrael is going to go into Golus. And also, I said that they're loy rucham. I won't have mercy on them anymore. And also, I said that they're loy ami. They're not my people either. I'm going to have a storis upon them, as we explained. So I made these three gzeres. Amaru b'gish rachmim. So Hashem listened to Hashem, and instead of asking for mercy for himself, he asked mercy for Klal Yisrael. And ubitul gzera. And one by one, he was able to mevatel each and every gzera. V'hiskel avorchan. He began to bless Klal Yisrael. Shenemer, the pasuk says in Hosea, v'hoya mispar b'nei Yisrael kol hayom. The amount of Jews were as many as the sand on the sea. V'hoya b'mkoyma sheyarmalem lo yamiyatem yarmalem b'nei keil choy. Instead of referring to Klal Yisrael, that they're not my people, they will be referred as the children of the living God. V'nikbetzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachdav. And instead of being spread out all over the world, the b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael will be gathered together. V'richamti esloi ruchama. I will have, the passage continues, v'zeroysel liborz. I will seed them and plant them, not all over the world, but here in the land of Eretz Yisrael. So this takes away the gzeira of going into Golos and Yisrael being spread out. And instead of being called loi ruchama, v'richamti esloi ruchama, I will have mercy on Klal Yisrael that I said I would not have mercy on anymore. V'amarti l'loi ami amiyato, and to the one that I said, which was represented by your second son, that loy ami amiato, you are my people. So Hashem was mevatel all these gzeiros because of the bakoshas rachamim on the part of Hosea once he realized that he had done an avera. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan comments: Oyla l'rabbanish mekaver eres es baleo. Woe to authority that it buries the owner, its owners. How do you know this? She'ein l'chol navi v'navi. There is none of these four navim that we spoke about. Shalai kipach, that did not survive. Arba malachim b'yam, of the four kings that ruled in his days. All four navim outlived all of the four of the kings. Shenemar. We find this in the case of Yeshaya. And the Gemara is only going to bring a pasuk by Yeshayo, but who adin, this would refer to the other three navim that we have been speaking about. The pasuk says in Yeshayo, Chazon Yeshayo ben Amoitz, Asher Chazah, this is the vision, the Nevuah of Yeshaya, the son of Amoitz, who saw his Nevuah concerning Al Yehudu Yerushalayim, and the pasuk continues, Bimei Uziyo, Yoisim Achaz, V'chizkiyo Mach Yehuda. In other words, that Yeshaya said it throughout there for the reign of these four kings. And similarly, by the other Nevi'im, it mentions these four kings, and they outlasted them. Why? Why did the Nevi'im outlast the Malachim? Because, as Rashi explains, they died before their time because they were haughty in their power. The Rabbonus, the authority that one receives, gives a person gaiva, and through this haughtiness, they died before their time, and the four Nevi'im outlasted all four Malachim. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. We know that Malch Yehuda come from the lineage of David HaMelech. Mashiach is going to come, Mashiach ben David. So the lineage of Malch Yehuda is greater than that of Malch Yisrael. And yet we find in one place that Yeravim ben Yoyash, who was a king in Yisrael, was counted together with the Malch Yehuda. Why? He was told, as the Gemara is going to explain and show where this happened, that he was told Lashonara about Amos, and he was not Mekabalit, and therefore he was Zochet to be counted with the kings of Yehuda. Minolon, the Imni. How do we know, first of all, that he was counted with the kings of Yehuda? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk in Hosea, Dvar Hashem Asher Hoya El Hosea Ben Be'eri Bimei Uziyo Yoisim Achaz Yechizkiyo Malch Yehuda, in the reign of those four kings, and also it was in the reign of Bimei Yeravim Ben Yoish Malch Yisrael. So we see that Yeravim Ben Yoish Malch Yisrael was counted together with the four kings of Yehuda. Minolon, the Loikib Lashon Hara. How do we know that Yeravim did not accept Lashon Hara? The Chassid, the Pasuk says in Amos, Vayishlach Amatzia Kohen Beis El. Amatzia, who was the Kohen, as Rashi says, he was a Komer Lakum. He was a Kohen of the Avodah Zor, which was in Beis Kael. He sent a message, El Yeravim Melch Yisrael. He sent to Yeravim Ben Yoish, the king of Yisrael, Lamer, saying, Kashar Alecha, that Amos has conspired against you. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Ki Choy Omar Amos, this is what Amos said, Becherev Yomis Yeravim. Yeravim will die with the sword. Omar, when Yeravim heard this message, he said, Chas v'shalom Omar oisit tzadikah. Chas v'shalom that Amos, who's a tzadik, would say such a thing, as the Marsha explains. Because Yeravim knew that Hashem had told Amos that the Malchus Yehu would be completed after four Malachim. But that would only take place in the personage of Zechariah, who followed his father Yeravim. But Amatzia, the Kohen of the Avodah Zarah, had told Yeravim that it would be completed in your lifetime, Yeravim, that you would be killed during your reign. And this, in fact, did not happen. It happened in the time of Yeravim's son, because he was the fourth generation. As Hashem had told Amos, that after four generations, Yehu, because of his belief in Avodah Zarah, his malchus through his descendants would come to an end. Then Yeravim, not only did he not accept it, but he said, Vim Omar, and even if I were to think maybe, you have to be chayshish for Lashon Hara and not believe in it. So may even Vim Amar, I have to be chayshish, maybe he did say that it would be, that the end would come in my lifetime. Mo'eseloi, what should I do to him? He wouldn't say it unless Hashem told him. Shkin Amarloi. So Hashem must have changed his mind. Hashem decided. So because he did not accept the Lashon Hara in such a beautiful fashion, he was zolcha to be counted together with the Malchei Beis Yehuda. Amar Rab Lazar, says Rab Lazar, Afilu b'shas kashal kadosh baruch hu zarech harachmim. Even at the time when Hashem gets angry at Klal Yisrael, he remembers mercy. How do we know this? Shenamar, kiloi oisiv oida rachim es beis Yisrael. I will no longer have mercy on Beis Yisrael. And a number of pshatim over here. Rashi says that even though Hashem is saying that he is going to punish Klal Yisrael, but he mixes it together with the word rachamim, oida rachim. The Marsha says that even when Hashem is punishing, he doesn't use the word punish him. He uses the non-mercy. I will not be merciful. He doesn't come out right and say, I will be destructful. I will punish. He does it in a shlili, in a negative. I won't have mercy. And that's not as bad as positively saying that he will destroy Klal Yisrael Chas Shalom. And the Haggai Yisrael, Rav Lazar Moshe Horowitz, says that we can learn the pasuk in such a manner. Kiloy Oisiv Oid, it doesn't say L'Rachem. Then we could not divide up the pasuk. But since it says Arachem, we could divide it as follows. Kiloy Oisiv Oid, what I've been doing as far as punishing Klal Yisrael, I will not continue. That's not going to last forever. You know what's going to happen eventually? Eventually, Arachem, I will have mercy. So we see that even at the time of Kasav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he mixes in mercy. Rabbi Yisro Kanina says that this concept we learn from another pasuk. Rabbi Yisro Kanina Amar Mehacha Ki Nasa Esalahem. As we said before, that this pasuk is Belashon Bitmiya. I am not going to have mercy on them. Should I then forgive them? But the fact that Hashem says, "Should I then forgive them?" It shows us he is mixing. In his telling us that he's going to punish us, he speaks about forgiveness, even though he does it in a form of a question. And we could also say that since there are no question marks in Tanakh, it could be read as Ki Nasa Eslam, I will in fact forgive them. So therefore we learn, even at the time of Kas, Hashem leaves open a window of opportunity where there should be forgiveness. V'yomer Rav Lazer lahiglu Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shro Labeinu Umois Ala Kadesh Yitayisvu Aleim Gerim. The Gemara now is going to say various advantages of Klal Yisrael being in Golus, although Golus itself is a kapora, it's a form of forgiveness for Klal Yisrael for their averos. They have to go into Golus, but at the same time, there's something positive as well. One of the positive things is that extra gerim will come to Klal Yisrael. Shenemar v'zerasili ba'aretz. I'm going to plant them in the land. Klum adam zareya saw alachnas kamakurin. If you plant a saw, so certainly you have in mind that you're not just going to get back a saw of tevuah of grain, but you're going to get back a much larger amount, many kurin, which is a larger measure than a saw. So we're planting the Jews amongst the goyim, and we hope Rabban Shalom is doing it with the expectation of getting extra converts, extra gerim, more Jews back. Rabbi Yochanan Mihacha, he learns the same idea from another pasuk. V'rechamti es loy ruchamo, and the pasuk continues, says Rashi, V'amarti loy ami ato. I will say to those who are not my nation, you're my people. In other words, that I'm expecting when I plant them around the world, that people who did not identify with Klal Yisrael because they were part of another ummah, they will become part of the Am Yisrael. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishmer Mishmer Yichai, my dechsev, that which it says in Oishaya, Al Talshin Eved Al Adonav, do not speak ill about a slave to his master, Pani Kalalcha, because perhaps the master will curse you, Vashamta, you will be found guilty. Uksivan, and the next pasuk says, Dor Aviv Yikalal, a nation, a generation who curses its father, Vesimo Lo Yivarch, and will not bless its mother. It seems that this is the cause of why you shouldn't say Lashon Hara to the master. And the Gemara immediately asks, Mishum Do Aviv Yikalal, Vesimo Lo Yivarch, Al Tal Shem. What does that mean? Because, is that a reason? Because he doesn't bless his father, because he curses his father and doesn't bless his mother, therefore you shouldn't say Lashon Hara. How does one thing follow the other? Ella, we have to understand the pasuk as follows. Afilu dor she'aviv yikalel v'simo lo yivarech al talshin. The pasuk means to say, by putting these two psukim together, that even a generation that does such a bad thing as cursing their father, not blessing their mother, they're such wayward children, yet even such bad children, you should not curse the Eved, which refers a marshal to Klal Yisrael, the servant, to the Adon, which refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, this was the chet of Hosea. Al Talshin Eved Al Adon of Minon. How do you know this, Me Hosea? Because that, in fact, as we mentioned on Amud Aleph, that was the chet of Hosea, that he didn't defend Klal Yisrael, and in fact, he spoke negatively against Klal Yisrael and told Hashem to exchange him for another nation. Amar Rabbi Yishia, my dechsev, that's what it says in the pasuk. When Dvorah and Baruch and Avi Noam were singing this song after the defeat of Sisera, they said, Tzidkas Pizrono B'Yisrael, that there was a tztaka for the Pashup Shadis. Pizrono is the open cities of Klal Yisrael, they felt that they were secure even though they had no walls around them. That's the Pashup Shad. The Gemara here changes the resh and the zayin of the word perzoinai and reads it pizroinai. And what does it mean then? He spread them out, he scattered them amongst the nations of the world. There is something positive. Again, this Gemara is a hemshik of the last Gemara, that we can find a silver lining in the fact that Klal Yisrael is in Golos. The last Gemara said that we get Gerim. This Gemara says that by being spread around the world, it protects us, because one nation does not have the capability of destroying all of Klal Yisrael at one time. This Apikores said, and he was from the Gentiles, he was a Roman Apikores, he said to Rav Chanina, Anan Malina Menaycha, we're better than you. Why? Ksiv Bechu, by you it says concerning Yoav the general, Yoav ben Shiril the general of David's army, that he fought against the Edomites who come from Amalek for 6 months, and he killed out all the males because he was being mekayim the mitzvah of Mechias Zechiras Amalek, totally in Mechias Amalek, destroying Amalek. So that's what you do. That's how you treat the people that you're with. Ve'ilu anan, but we Romans, isnichu gabon, kamishana, you're with us many years. We don't touch you. So you see, we're a better people than you are. Omar Loi, so Rav Chanina said to this min, he said, he said, if you want, let me give you a certain Talmud who will deal, yitapel means he'll deal, he'll give an answer to your question. Nitbalei Rabbeisha, the same Rabbeisha that we had previously that said Hashem did it staka by spreading us out amongst the Goyim, he's the one that was going to give the answer to this min. Omar Loi, so he told the min, Rabbeisha told the min, it's not that you, if it was up to you, you wouldn't want to destroy Klal Yisrael. You just don't know how to do it. Mishum do yaditu. You don't know hechatavdu, how to do it. Why? Tachlin and kulu, if you're going to try to destroy all of them, we're spread out all over the world. As Rabbi Yoshi himself had said, that's the greatest brach of us, that we're spread out all over the world. As the Ramban says in Chumash, that when Yaakov divided the camp into two parts, he said, if Esav will come, Alamachna Rishon, it will come to the first camp. Vahoya Machna Anisha Leplato. The second camp will survive. They'll be able to run away while he's attacking the first camp. If they'll all be in one camp, they'll all be destroyed. And the Ramban says, Maisa of a similar bottom. This story that happened with our forefathers is a simon for future generations, that Hashem will not allow one king to be in a position to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, as we found even by Hitler Yamach Shemo, that he was only able to destroy 6 million of our brethren in Europe. But there were other Jews around the world, in North America, South America, Australia, Israel, that were able to survive because we were not all under the domination of this Yemach Shemoinik. So, if back to the Gemara, all of us were not by you. Maybe you'll kill out just those who are near you. So the rest of the Jews who are all over the world scattered, who you won't be able to get at, they will call you, you're a nation that kills, you're genocidal. That's all. That's what your reputation is. You don't want to get such a reputation. By the wall of Rome, this was an Avodah Zorah, which was depicted by a wall. And we hope that Wall Street will never become such a wall of an Avodah Zorah. Amrle Gapo de Ramoy, the wall which they considered as an Avodah Zorah, Behon Nachsinon Ubahar Salkinon. That's what we go down with, that's what we go up with. In other words, all day we're thinking back and forth, how do we do in the Jewish people? If only we could get our hands on all of them to destroy all of them. Continues the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Chiya, Mai Dechsev, Elokim Haven Dark, Hashem understood the path, V'hu Yodas Mekayim, and he knew its place. What does this pasuk mean? Yodea HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, She'en Yuchon L'Kabal, G'zeyas HaChzorius HaDoim. They won't be able to live. Why did Hashem, he's trying to explain, why did Hashem specifically send the Jews after the destruction of the first place of Mikdash into Bavel, and not into Edom? Because the Jews would not have been able to take the terrible, cruel G'zeyas of Edom, so he sent them into Bavel, which at that time was run, the people who were living there were the Kasdoyim, and they were not as cruel as the other nations. The Dikdukei Seifrim has the girsa here that the Klal Yisrael would not have been able to take Zeroys Roimi Harishah, the Xeris of the evil Roman Empire. But Roim is the girsa of Xeris Edom is the same because Edom refers to Rome. So Hashem did not send them to Rome because they're Achzor, they're very cruel. Therefore he sent them to Bavel. Another reason why I sent them only to Bavel, because Bavel is deep like a shoal. Shoal means either a grave, or shoal refers to Gehinnom. Shenemar miyad shoal afdem, as Rashi explains, that once they're in a place which is as deep as shoal, that is a cause for Hashem to begoal them, to redeem them quickly. Hashem doesn't want to let them in this low place, which is comparable to a grave or to Gehinnom. Miyad Shaul Eftem, I will redeem them from the hands of Shaul. Mimavis Agolim, from death I will save them. Rav Chanina Amri gives a different reason why they were in Bavel. Mimnesha Karv Lashon Lashon Torah, because Aramaic is very similar to Lashon of the Torah, and Hashem didn't want Klal Yisrael to lose the Torah, therefore he put him in between a nation whose language was similar to that of Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, another reason, when they shishigron lebeisim, he sent Klal Yisrael back to its mother's house. Marshal Adam Shakasalisha, it's a marshal of a man who got angry at his wife. Lahecha Meshaga, where does he send her? He wants her out of the house. He sends her lebeisim. So too, Avram Avinu, came from, as Rashi explains, Ur Kasdim, and there's a machlokes rishonim whether he was born there or he was born in Haran. But either way, even if he was born in Haran, but Ur Kasdim was the place where a miracle happened and Avram was saved after he destroyed the idols of his father Terach, and from there he embarked on his journey throughout the world to bring monotheism to the world. So when Hashem sends Klal Yisrael back, they send them back to Beis Imon, to Ur Kasdim, to Bavel. Haran itself was much north of Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. So the Gemara here is referring to Ur Kasdim. He was sent back to where he came from. V'hainad Rabbi Alexandroi, this fits in with what Rabbi Alexandroi taught us. The Amar Shloisha Chazul Metosan, three went back to their original source. Eluhen, these are they. Yisrael, Kesef, Mitzrayim, the money of Mitzrayim. That Klal Yisrael, Vayinatsu as Mitzrayim, as we're going to learn about in the Haggadah during the Seder, that they cleaned out all the money in Mitzrayim, but eventually was taken back by the Goyim. Viksav Luchos, and the letters that were on the Luchos, the first Luchos. Yisrael, the fact that Yisrael was sent back to where it came from, Hodamorn, that's what we said before, that they were sent back to Ur Kasdim. Kesev Mitzrayim Dechsiv, Ahibishan Achamishal Melech Rechavam, the fifth year of the rule of Rechavam, who was Shlomo's son. So what happened? Ola Shishik Melech Mitzrayim, Shishik the king of Mitzrayim came Al Yushalayim to fight Yushalayim, and he took back all the money which Klal Yisrael had taken, as Rashi says, Shabbos Yisrael B'tzeis Mitzrayim, as the Pasuk says, Vayinatsu Es Mitzrayim. They emptied out, they cleaned out Mitzrayim, it was eventually taken back, they reclaimed their money, Shishak the king of Mitzrayim, it went back to its source. Ksav Haluchas Dechsev Ve'eshbrem Le'nechem, I will break them to your eyes. Tana Luchas Nishbur Vaisias Parchas. Just what we have the Gemara about Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, that when he was burnt with the Sefer Torah, so Gvilin the Shrafim, his daughter, saw that the parchment of the Sefer Torah was burnt, but Vaisias Parchas Ba'avr, the letters were flying in the sky. So to hear, Ve'eshbur Le'nechem, not Lefnechem, Hashem will break the Luchas not in front of you, but in front of your eyes, as Rashi explains, you're going to see a Pella, you're going to see a wondrous thing. What is the wonder thing? The wondrous thing that the letters, which, as the Gemara tells us in Megillah, that the Mem, the final Mem, and the Samach and the Luchas, Benesha Yoimdim, that since the letters were carved out from one end of the Luchas, it was bored through to the other side. So the Mem that is all surrounded, the inner part of the circle is surrounded by air. So that middle piece of the Luchos was hanging without being attached. It was Benesoyimit, and the same for the Samach, that inner part of the Luchos was standing by a nes. So we see from that Gemara that the letters were actually made of air. And those letters made of air, a nes happened, this is how the Mephorshim explained it, a nes happened, and those letters flew up in the sky, and the Klal Yisrael was able to see those letters of air flying up in the sky, and eventually they came back into the second Luchos. So they came, the letters came back to their original source. And the Gemara tomorrow will conclude this discussion of why Klal Yisrael specifically was sent into Golus in Bavel. Why Klal Yisrael specifically was sent into Golus in Bavel.